ask if you will take your Bible and turn to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. First John is one of those little letters near the end of our Bibles, and just a little while before the book of Revelation. And John, as an older man, is writing to the church in that day. Some words that God began to deal with my heart about. And we began to study and show me some things that I need to share with you in this service today. Now, of course, we'll be reading four verses. 1 John, the first chapter, starting in the first verse. Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'll stop reading that verse as we think along the lines today of what the Lord has put in my heart. You know, I realize that as a child, we were introduced to the words, once upon a time, that opened the door for an exciting world of make-believe. And I remember reading those stories. I remember hearing them read and thinking about what it was like to have a situation like that where good always seemed to win. Seemed like the sun was always shining and all was well. But it didn't take long in life to realize that life isn't a fairy tale. That life, in reality, does have its times of sunshine, but it also has its storms. It has its blessings, but also its battles and its burdens in life. For countless generations, people have searched for something real, something that'll satisfy in life. people have sought it in conquest, have sought it in careers, they have looked for it in wealth, in education, in the thrills of life, and even in religion. But the problem is that these things in and by themselves never really satisfied. Often life seems like it can be like cotton candy. With cotton candy, you expect to bite into something real, that it may taste sweet for an instant, but then it's a mouthful of nothing. That's how life is often found for a lot of people. But John writes a letter here. And John is writing to people much like you and I. John is talking to a group of people whose lives are filled with heartaches, troubles, and trials. People who at times look in their world for things to satisfy their hearts. But they, like us, often are just not finding what is real and lasting in our lives and hearts. I'd like to preach for a little while on the thought and the subject of where real life is found. Where real life is found. You see, John realizes that real life isn't found in trinkets and thrills in life. John realizes it isn't in possessions or prizes. But John says real life is found in a person, Jesus Christ. So that's where our basis is at today for the message. I noticed first of all that John says something here about a connection that is experienced. Notice what he says starting in the first verse. John says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and their hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. John is talking about a connection that's real in life. What is that connection? Paul says, or John says, it is in a personal experience. John is describing about how it was years before this, have spending time with Jesus Christ. John said, I had the privilege of seeing him. I had the privilege of walking with him. I talked with him. I ate with him. I listened to what he says. John said, I knew him face to face. John is talking about the fact of who Jesus was. John is saying Jesus was real. Jesus was a person. Jesus came and we knew him and talked with him in life. You may say, preacher, why do you say it that way? Because Satan always tries to muddy the water about who Jesus is. Satan would like for us to think, well, do you really believe it, Jane? Do you really believe Jesus was a person? Do you really believe that Jesus was sinless? Do you really believe he died and resurrected the third day? John is saying, I know this personally. John said, I knew him, talked with him, spent time with him. Somebody no doubt will say, well, that was good for John. I guess we're left down in the cold. But notice what John says in verse 3. John said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. John said, we saw him. I touched him. I spent time with him. And that same Jesus I'm declaring unto you. I'm telling you about it. Because you also can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you realize today it is a physical nearness that makes the difference with Jesus? That is, it is a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen him with my physical eyes. I've never touched him with my hands physically. I've never sat down to eat a meal with him physically like John did. But John is saying, you can still do him personally. You can still have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 6 times in the 5 chapters of this little letter, John speaks of being born of God. What is he talking about? John is talking about being saved by the grace of God. John has told them, give me the Lord Jesus Christ your life. That is where real life is found, is in knowing Jesus. I wonder today if it were possible that when we died, I'm just saying, if it was possible that it was this way, and you got to the gates of heaven, somebody was there and said, why should we allow you to come into heaven? I wonder what your answer would be. Some no doubt would say, but I went to church all my life. Some may possibly say, I've got money in the offering plate every week. Some may possibly say, I listened as the Sunday school teacher taught. I listened while the preacher preached. I was good to my neighbor. I was kind to those hurting. You say, preacher, those sound like some good things. There's not a single one of them will get you into heaven. Not a single one of them. Coming to church, reading a Bible, listening to teaching or preaching, being good to others are good things. There's only one way you're going to get into heaven. That is with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That somewhere in your life, you have felt a conviction in your heart that you realize you're lost, that you need a Savior, and the only way you'll be saved is by confessing your sins to Jesus and saying, I have sinned and failed, Lord, would you please forgive me? Make me one of your own. You know, we have complicated this thing of salvation for what is real and right. I have been in church services and I have seen preachers say, well, all we need you to do is sign a little card and it'll be all right. I want to tell you something. Salvation is more than signing a little card. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. John said, I'm doing physically, but you can know him spiritually through salvation. I want to say to all of our hearts today, do not, please hear me, do not leave this world without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't leave this world without knowing that you're one of His children. Don't leave this world just hoping that heaven will be your home. There's a lot of things I don't know in life. There are a lot of things I don't know. But I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I know that if My heart starts beating right at this moment to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Do you know that? I want to say you need to know that you're one of His. Preacher, why is that so special? Why is that so important? Because living with the knowledge of Jesus in your heart is the sweetest thing you'll ever know in life. It is the greatest relationship you'll ever have. I love my wife. Thank God every day for my wife. I love my children. I'd lay down my life for any of them. I want to tell you, the greatest relationship I have is knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the greatest thing. Every day of my life to spend He and me together. Oh, listen, not just on Sunday, but every day. Not just the good days, but the bad days. Not just the hard days, but even the joyous days. Every day of my life is spent with Him. I want to tell you, it is a connection that you experience with Christ. That's where real life's found. Secondly, John says a communion is established. Notice in verse 3, John says that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship has suffered a lot in our day. Often we'll use that word fellowship and immediately we've got the idea, well, we're going to get together and have a dinner. We Baptists are good at dinners, aren't we? We can put out a spread. I like them, but this word fellowship means more than having a dinner. It means to have things in common. To have things in common. For one thing, John says we have fellowship with the Father. Which brings up a question. I know thee. I know how sorry and low down I'm be at times. So I know that God is a holy God. God is an almighty God. And I'm just a weak vessel. How in the world can somebody like me have something in common and fellowship with someone like Him? John answered the question in the verse. John said, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know what the connection is that brings the Holy God into fellowship with the sinful man like me? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the connection that we have. Thank God, because of Jesus in my heart. Father likes to spend time with me. Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 6, said to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the blood. That word accepted means that God looks upon me and sees His Son and welcomes me. I think Andy got a reference to that in his teaching. That when God looks on us, He sees the blood and His Son. That's how I have fellowship with the Father. And the Son is because of Jesus Christ. But John said we not only have fellowship with the Father, but with the family. He said in verse 3 that ye also may have fellowship with us. Then Chris did it so well last Sunday. Chris' teaching was saying we're all different, and we are. We all have different ideas and thoughts at times. We don't always like the same things. But there is one common factor that ties it all together, that we have fellowship one with another. Once again, it's Jesus Christ. You realize the same Jesus that saved you saved me. The same Jesus that lives in your heart is the same Jesus that lives in my heart. It is the same Jesus in all of us that are saved. Somebody said it like this. That's why we love one another. Because the Jesus in me is going to love the Jesus in you. And when we love Jesus, we're naturally going to love one another. Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And I'll tell you, one of the sweetest, greatest things this side of heaven is what we're doing right now in the house of God. One of the sweetest things this side of heaven is being able to gather in the house of God, see the family of God, spend time together worshiping, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this is a highlight of my week. I enjoyed the other days. I talked to him, he talks to me, and I want to tell you, this day is a highlight of my week. That I'm gathering in the house of God with God's family. I hear the great singing like we've heard. I hear the great teaching like we've heard. And I'm seeing your face. I shake your hand and realize you love God and I love God. And we've just got some things in common. One with another. Don't get that down to factory, do you? Don't get that often in the office. Don't get that anywhere else. Thank God you have it with the family of God. See, life's enough done. Time's about done. John says there's a completeness in joy. Verse 4, he said, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." John said, "I'm writing these things that you could have a full joy in life." That word "full," some of the definitions mean to fill to the brim, to feel full, to be complete. And here's the one I like. A good old redneck, I guess, idea to cram full. I like that. John said, "I write these things that your joy may be crammed full in life." There's a lot of things in this life that I'm not happy about. There's a lot of things in this life that will steal my happiness. You realize happiness is based on what's happening. Our circumstances change and our happiness can change. Something happens to me and my happiness suffers. John says, "I'm writing these things that your joy may be full." He said, "I'm writing these things to you, not just that you'll be happy, but that you'll have real joy." Preacher, what is it brings real joy to our heart and lives? Once again, knowing Jesus. It is me realizing that even when I'm sick, I still have Jesus. Even when I'm hurting, I still got Jesus. Even when problems arise, I've still got Jesus. Even when I'm confused about situations in life, I've still got Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that brings joy to my heart to realize He'll never leave me to face life alone. The old hymn says, "He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm His own. And we share joy together because I know Him." There are tons of people today that are alive, they're living physically. They don't have real life spiritually because they don't know my Jesus. This was on my heart today because I want everybody know Him. I want everybody to know my Jesus. The one that loved me and saved me by His grace. I don't know how long we're going to be in this world. We often say I'm looking for Jesus to come any day, and I am. But I guess the one thing as a pastor that burdens my heart is, do I preach to people Sunday after Sunday or week after week that if Jesus came back today, are they ready to meet Him? That's the burden of my heart as a pastor. I want to leave. Andy talked about leaving behind things. And I want to leave behind this, that he was a pastor and loved people and wanted to see them saved by the grace of God. I wouldn't want to leave this church if that time ever came, if God took me out of this world or away from pastor. I wouldn't want to leave and say, you know, I wished I'd preached Jesus more to them. I wish I'd reminded them more and more that Jesus loves them and cares and can meet the needs of their heart. So that's in my heart today. I want you to know about Jesus. Everybody in this building may be ready to meet the Lord, but not all may be. I don't know. My heart's desire is, if you don't know about Jesus, I'd sure like to introduce Him to you today. And that when you leave these grounds, you can say, you know, Jesus, He now lives in my heart as well. Brother David, would you give us a song so we can stand and sing an invitation? There may be somebody here today, God has spoken to your heart. And you'd like to come and bow on an altar and say, preacher, I want to know this Jesus you talked about. I want to know this Jesus you talked about. I have loved with people in days past when I was, before I was ever a pastor, when I was just a hand at work somewhere. I've had people later on. I had a young man I worked with for several years. After I began pastoring, and I don't say this boastfully, I say it humbly. I had a young man to see me down the road years later. And he said, I could always tell there was something different about your life. And now I know the same thing you know. Because I've been saved and given the Lord my heart. Can they see Jesus in us? Wherever we are, it's already been said. It amazes me how the Lord ties a lot of things together. I want you to know my Jesus. If you don't today, while we're standing and singing, would you come?
Page 121.